This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm so excited to be here today with my guest, Lydia Van Zandt, who is the director of kids ministry here at Burke Community Church. Lydia is just an incredible woman of faith. I'm so excited to talk to her today. So Lydia, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Jessica. I'm so excited to be here.
It's going to be amazing. Okay. I can't wait. We got to jump in. I want to know everything. I can't wait to hear about how God has worked in your life. And I want to just know more about him by watching him work through you and in your story. So if you could tell us, just get us started by telling us about your background and then maybe let us know how you ended up coming to know God in a personal way.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do this. Yeah. So basically, I did not grow up in a Christian home that talked about Jesus. My parents were, quote, Catholic, but they divorced when I was 2 years old. And after the divorce, neither one of them really had anything to do with the church. So even though I heard, yes, we're Catholic, that's basically all it really meant for me. My mom remarried, and with my stepfather's job, we moved around quite a bit. I went to 4 different elementary schools and 3 different high schools.
That's a lot.
It is. And we were not a military family.
Felt like it, though.
It did. Little did I know God was preparing me for something else down the road.
Right.
But I tell you, I did not get involved with the right crowds. I was always seeking something. I didn't know what it was. I had a lot of boyfriends. I started drinking at a very young age. But I tell you, deep down, I felt a pull for something else. I just didn't understand it. Hmm. I always knew I shouldn't be doing this. I really shouldn't be with that person. I really shouldn't be going to that bar. I would do it, but there was such a conviction and I didn't understand it.
Right.
So then fast forward to high school, my last move, I met some kids and they invited me to youth group. Now, because I don't really know anything about the church at the time, I thought youth group was an after-school activity. So they said, yeah, we'll pick you up this evening around 6:30. And I thought, 6:30, that's really late for a school.
Extracurricular activity.
Yes. And so I kind of questioned it. But anyway, I'm like, sure, I'm game. Let's do this. And we don't go to the school. We go to church. And I thought, what is going on? I knew of the kids that went to church a lot. They were kind of like the holy rollers. I always thought, I'm a good person. I know there's a God. That's kind of enough. I don't need to be all like, ooh, crazy about this. But since I was the kind of person that can't really say no or I don't want to be here, I just kind of rolled with it. And I listened to the youth pastor and there was worship and he was actually really intriguing. I looking back, God was doing something really cool in my heart. Anyway, I felt so welcomed by them. I just kept going. And that was my junior year of high school in the fall. And on Valentine's Day, I still remember to this day, there was a conference at the church called House Party. And they had different professional football players come and give their testimony. They had cool Christian bands, like Third Day and Newsboys were there, which I didn't know that they were cool.
Oh, that's my generation of Christian music.
Yeah. And I felt so captivated. And I still remember they asked, if you are not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, raise your hand and we'd love to have a conversation with you. And I was like, I am not raising my hand. I'm more of an introvert. And I said, I don't need anybody to talk to me. That's awkward. But I remember I had my eyes closed and I thought, well, how can anybody really be sure? I mean, we're all good people. Why wouldn't somebody go versus somebody else? And in that moment, my friend next to me raised her hand. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go with her. So I raised my hand too, and we walked up together. And then I'm talking and sharing with someone, and I have all these questions. But she makes me feel so comforted and so willing to just spend time with me.
Like, and welcome.
Yeah. And it was in that moment I thought, oh my goodness, all the different ways that God's been trying to get my attention and drawing me closer to him, I get it now. I get it. It wasn't just about I'm decent enough, I'm not a murderer or, you know, this crazy person, so that should be fine. No, it wasn't. It was, do you know Jesus? And I'm like, no.
Right.
I really don't. She's like, do you want to? And I said, what does that mean? And we just had this deeper conversation. I said, you know what? I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm not going to lie. But what I do know is that I felt at such a peace to come forward. And I do. I want to dive deeper. Like, I want to know what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, my life changed. Those two friends that invited me to youth group just poured into me. They said, they brought me a Bible. And they just started guiding me. And God just did such a 180 in my heart. He sincerely rescued me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I was in a pit.
Right.
I was literally in a pit doing really bad things, seeking attention, seeking everything I could
because
there was a void, mm-hmm. right? There's a void in your heart
right.
because we've been designed to love Jesus. And if you don't know him, you keep seeking to fill that void that can only be filled by him.
We're constantly looking for freedom and fulfillment.
We really are.
Yeah.
You know? And you see people searching for that all the time.
All
and
the
you're
time.
Like, you're not gonna find it.
We're wired for it, right. but it's only found in him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Absolutely. So great. So at that junior in high school, you had this kind of, I don't even know what I'm doing, but I can feel some sort of spiritual pull in my life that is saying, I want more.
Yes. I just knew something had to change.
Right.
I wasn't happy.
Right.
You know, you can tell yourself that all day and do the things that are cool and you fit in and
right.
but deep down.
But it seems like you knew there was something there, but it wasn't until you had this experience of going to youth group and hearing this truth and experiencing this type of community that you realized it almost shed light on the fact that the life you were living was not a fulfilling life. It was not a life that was giving you the freedom that you were looking for by doing all of these things.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And yeah, I just, you know, thank God for kids ministries and youth ministries because it's those kinds of things. I mean, you know, that draw you in.
100%. Yeah. And in fact, you know, when I met my husband, when we were engaged and we had talked about when we have kids, how do you feel about them going to public school? And we both agreed 100%. They're going to go to public school. God is telling us to have our kids go and be the light. Mm-hmm. Kids were the light for me.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure God could have done what he was going to do and reached me in a different way. But he
right.
used two high school kids to invite this girl to youth group.
Right.
And thank goodness.
It saved your life.
It saved my life. I still know their names.
Yeah.
And I contact them every so often. I'm like, you know, it's because of you, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
And sounds like my prayer is our kids could do the same thing.
Right.
Like your number one mission when you go to school is to be a light.
Mm-hmm.
And then your grades. Make sure you do well.
and study.
Yeah,
Get an education. Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so now I know that you were a junior in high school. You really came to know, and it sounds like after that you had what we would refer to as discipleship, people coming alongside of you, helping you understand more about who God is, what His Word says, what the truth is for you in your life. And you, it seems that you started to grow in that. Mm-hmm. And of course, many years have passed since then, and our listeners don't know anything else about you. So I'm just kind of curious, what do you want to tell us about kind of how things went for you after that? And I'd really love to hear the ways that you've seen evidence of His work in your life over the years after that.
Sure. Oh my goodness. So God took this girl that would barely say a word and pushed me to different levels that I didn't think I would ever be able to get to or want to get to. So for example, I'm from Texas.
Okay. What part?
Austin.
Okay. Yeah. I lived in Texas. I lived in Dallas for a little while.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah. It's God's country.
Yeah.
And I was so set on going to the University of Texas, Hook'em. I love the Longhorns, wanted to go there. I was going to be a business major. My brother went to A&M, so I had to be the complete opposite. And I tell you, my spring semester of my senior year, God said, "You are not going to go there. You're going to go to this small school, Southwest Texas." I was like, "I am not going to Southwest Texas. That is not a cool school. I worked my butt off. I'm going to UT. I am a Longhorn." "No, Lydia, you're not going to go there." Oh, it crushed me. I fought with Jesus. I was like, "I can't believe you're doing this to me." And then everything lined up for me to go to the smaller school. And I said, "Okay, I cannot ignore this." And then my best friend, I went to three high schools. So now that I finally have a best friend in high school, she's going to Southwest Texas. She's like, "I need a roommate." I'm like, "Oh my goodness. Okay, fine. All right, God, we're going to do this." Well, little did I know, He was going to take me through some challenges, but some beautiful times. I mean, He had me lead a Christian organization, something I didn't want to do. And He was just putting things in my life where He's like, "You're going to do this now." And I'm like, "I don't want to." But I did it.
Yeah.
And I really think He was molding me and shaping me to be the wife of a military officer. Because after college, I met my husband. But let's go back in college.
Okay.
I had a boyfriend there for 3 years. We thought we were going to get married.
Right.
We had our whole lives planned out. And it was wonderful. And our senior year, he broke up with me. And I was devastated. I was like, "God, but it was so perfect.
Right.
He loves you. I love you. And we love each other." And he said, "Lydia, I really care about you, but this just isn't right." And I died inside. But I can honestly tell you, looking back, I deep down knew he wasn't the one, but I wasn't strong enough to call it off. I was so comfortable. I was so comfortable. I'm like, "It's been you this whole time." And then I wondered, "God, why wouldn't this have worked out?" So anyway, he's like, "Lydia, I need you to know that I'm enough. Would you just focus on me right now?" And I did. I had to get to that point where I said, I don't need someone in my life all the time. I just need to focus on you, Jesus." And I did. And a year later, he brought my future husband into my life. And I met him, and he was about to deploy. He was in the military. And I said, "Oh, wow, I'm meeting a soldier for the very first time. And you're about to go to combat." And he's like, "Will you be my pen pal?" I was like, "Sure." And we went on some dates. We did a lot of things with our church, with our singles ministry and college ministry. We did so many things with other people, which was fantastic. But I do remember his parents had flown into Texas from California to say bye to him. He's like, "Will you go meet my parents?" And I said, "Of course." So we went. And then he's driving me home. And I kid you not, I looked over at him and I could feel God say, because when my ex-boyfriend broke up, I remember crying in the closet saying, why God, why? And when I'm looking at Lance now, I felt God say, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew.
Yeah.
I knew that I knew that Lance was supposed to be my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he deployed and we got married when he got back, but it was so amazing.
God was orchestrating the details of your life. And sometimes, you know, just like other things that grow, right?
Yeah.
Plants are a great example that sometimes certain things have to die in order for new growth to take place.
So
and
true.
Sometimes it's pruned and sometimes it's seasonal, you know, kind of seasonal death that then is brought back in new forms. And it seems like that time of him sending you to the college that you didn't want to go to, and then really cultivating these ways of, it sounds like ways of life where he was working in you that you now can look back and see he was preparing you for being a military spouse.
Yes.
And then giving you this long-term relationship that seems like it was a good relationship. It wasn't that, you know, but ended up just not being the right person for you long-term. But right. God caused that shift in your life, something in your life that had to die in order for something new to come about.
And it hurts.
Right.
When God prunes, it hurts.
Right.
But I tell you what, God is our father.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're a parent, you understand that you don't always guide your kids with what's popular or what they want. You love them by doing what's right for them and what they actually need. And they might get mad at you or say, you don't understand.
Where are you? You don't love me. Right.
But you know, you understand better than them. So much better than them. And you're doing it because you love them. And that's God. God is our Heavenly Father. And what he tells us isn't because he's malicious or has bad intentions and want, you know, it's because he loves us so much.
Right.
He knows what's best. We just don't always see the big picture.
Right.
Like children, like our own children, they don't see it, but we do.
Right.
For them.
Right? That's right.
Yeah.
It makes me think of, where the Bible tells us that God goes before us and he comes behind us, you know, and he's also walks with us. And I just think that the idea that he was going before you on that journey, he was walking with you on that journey, and he was also coming up in the rear, right?
And
closing out one chapter so that you could start a new chapter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
So then you move into a new chapter in your life. And in what ways did you continue to see God be evident to you over time? This, you know, for anyone listening who's maybe not walking with in relationship with God or that has not discovered Jesus yet, it truly is a journey. I mean, if you look at the description of even what this podcast is all about, it's about faith journey stories. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, a one-time thing we talk about and, oh, okay, sealed the deal with God. Now I'm good to go.
Right.
No, it's a life. No. It's a new life, right? It's a journey that we're on where he's constantly showing up. He's constantly working and doing things, and it's in the pit and it's on the mountaintops and it's everywhere in between. So anyway, so I know as you continued to journey at that point, obviously you got married to someone in the military. Are there any other ways that you want to share with us where you feel like God's been super evident in your life over the years since then?
Yeah. So I tell you, being a military spouse had its own challenges. Again, the girl that wanted to stay quiet and be behind the scenes really had to come out of that shell, because there were certain, even though there were volunteer roles where the spouse is just more active in leading other spouses and things like that.
I would assume during deployment, right? Too, like when you're
sure,
you're
yes,
you're yeah, home and your spouse is gone.
Back then, there was no social media,
right?
And I mean, there was emails, but we were really the connection to get information across, and mm-hmm. so that was challenging because it was just leadership roles, mm-hmm. leadership roles that you don't think that you're qualified for or want to be in, or but God has a way of just putting you in those places, and in those moments, if you're just obedient, you'll see how God's going to use you and make connections. I still remember there was one time they were going to deploy, and it was going to be a long deployment. It was 15 months, and it was a hard one. We did a year. Mm-hmm. And to know it was going to be past a year, that was a tough one to swallow. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling the spouses, I was trying to reach them in a way, how can I encourage them, right? We're about to go through something really, really hard. And so many of these spouses have young kids. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to lie. This is going to be really, really hard. The weekends are going to be really hard. Evenings are going to be really hard. And so I just was honest with them. But I said, you know what? This is a great time to go and serve. Go find something you're passionate about and go to an animal shelter if you like animals. Go to the library and read to some kids if you like kids. I mean, you find what you are passionate about and go do it. And the reason I shared that with them is because I know how God wired us. Mm-hmm. And God wired us to go and do something above ourselves. And there's just such a supernatural reward when we not just walk in obedience, but what we do, what we're called to do, what our design is. And I really think it's just amazing how I'm very thankful that God put me in those positions so that I could help encourage some spouses.
I like that because I think a lot of, especially, you know, I don't know. I just think that a lot of people who never imagine themselves taking on certain leadership positions or public speaking opportunities or anything like that, maybe sometimes come along those opportunities and fear causes them to stand down or stand back, you know, maybe fear of what people are going to think or insecurity that you're not, you know, the kind of person that does that kind of thing or whatever. So I appreciate the fact that you're sharing that part of your journey was, this wasn't the way I was really wired necessarily, but I felt like God kept on challenging me and I just kept on stepping into that space and rising to that occasion almost against my own will, but just knowing that God was giving me this platform to be able to lead and to help others. And I kind of want to think that it might also be like you were sharing about the way that you came to Jesus and the fact that you want your kids to be a light in the school system, that you were thinking, if I'm quiet while I'm in this military setting, then what if I'm the person that doesn't invite someone to the table? Or what if I'm the person that doesn't bring somebody in, you know? And I think it all was part of your faith origin story of somebody mm-hmm. else was bold enough to invite you to youth group and that they were out there enough to draw you in. And now you're seeing like, I have to be that for other people, even if it's uncomfortable for me,
yeah.
you know? And so even in your adult life. So I like that. I like that part of it. So I'm curious yeah. in all of this and bear with me if I cut you off or something else you were going to share. But the thing that's in my mind right now is at what juncture did you have kids and how did that play into this narrative? And is there anything that where you saw God working in that part of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So my husband and I got married and 2 years later, we had our first child. Now, when I met my husband, he said, oh, I'm not going to do this career. I'm not going to do this as a career. I'm getting out. And that didn't happen. he stayed in for, let's see, he was in a total of 26 years, and we were together for 21 of that. Mm-hmm. But I do remember his plan, my husband's plan, was to get out. And I do remember I was praying about it, and God really, I really just felt God say, you know, he's not going to get out. Mm-hmm. He is going to stay in. And I was like, oh goodness, I really don't want to deal with these deployments anymore. They're really, really hard. And we have a child now, and this is hard. And I remember my husband telling me, he's like, Lydia, I got to talk to you. And I was like, oh no. And he said, I just can't imagine not putting on the uniform. Mm-hmm. I got to stay in. I was like, I know you do. Dang it.
God had already prepared your heart.
Yes, yeah. He had. He's so good.
Yeah.
Would it have been my plan at the time? No. But can I see how beautiful our life as a military family was? Absolutely. Was it easy moving our kids? We have three girls now. But was it easy moving them every 2 years? Gosh, no. And there gets a stage where they're like, we're tired of moving. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard on all of us.
Right.
But, you know, I always told them, your life as a believer is just like your dad's life in the military. He gets orders from the military, and they say, you have to go here now for X amount of time. Well, that's kind of like God giving you your orders. Like, he's just using your dad mm-hmm. to get you to where he needs you to. But it's God giving orders saying, all right, now I need y'all to be in Nova.
Right.
At this school in this neighborhood. And that's why I always say, your number one mission is to be a light, mm-hmm. is to be an ambassador of Christ. You are a soldier in God's army. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're there for the education. Yes, we're doing all that. But your number one is those things. And so it's kind of cool. It's yeah. kind of cool when you help other people see there's a bigger picture, right?
Yeah, for sure.
God's doing something if you would just be willing.
Yeah.
Now, does it stink sometimes? Yes.
Right.
But
it's temporary.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And there's so much blessing.
Right.
Along
exactly.
the way. Right. That you
living in his will and his way is the best life you could ever live.
Yes.
It can be hard, especially because it's beyond our understanding. But the fullness of life that you get walking with him, it there's no comparison.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So tell yeah. me this. I'm curious. You know, these years that you've been walking with him, the way that he's kind of held your hand through all of these different seasons of life, and there's so much more, of course, that we won't have time to talk about today, that I know has been just so many times that he's met you in the place where you are. But what would you say is a characteristic of God that has been so evident to you over time?
Rescuer.
Mm-hmm. I love that one.
Yeah, without a doubt.
He rescues.
He did. He totally rescued me. And loving father.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I mean, if you could just picture, if you were to see your child in literally a pit, just so dirty and so vulnerable, and God just reached out his hand
mm-hmm.
and said, it's enough. Like, you're coming with me. I'm going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to love you and rescue you from this.
Right.
Like, you are not going to keep going down. You are not going to stay in there. That mm-hmm. is not for you. There's so much more. We're going to clean you up, and we're going to get you out of that.
Amen.
That's what
I
he
love
did.
That. So if there's somebody that's feeling like they're just really struggling with the idea of faith in Jesus right now, with the idea of trusting a God that they can't see, you know,
mm-hmm.
what would you say to them? What advice would you give to them?
You know that you're probably feeling a tug in some way, in some form, and only you know, only each individual person knows what that is, but that is God. That is God trying to get a hold of you. And no, you can't physically see him, but you feel it. Mm-hmm. You definitely feel it. Don't say no.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice.
That's right.
You have a choice to say, to let him in and to do something about it. Especially if you're listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can make excuses, but if you needed a sign, this is your sign.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to someone that's maybe tried to talk to you. Go to a church. Do something. But God's trying to get a hold of you because he loves you. He loves you so, so much. And would take care of you, will take care of you in a way that nobody else can. Because you're his child. That's how he designed you. So when you're feeling that tug, and if you're feeling, I shouldn't be doing this, there has to be a change, and you keep chasing things, and you just keep getting to dead ends, quit running and fighting it and let him in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a choice. You have to say, come on in.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, Lydia. I'm very encouraged by the way that God has worked in your life over time and the way that he's shown himself to you. And I just really enjoyed getting to know you more today.
Aw, same here, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.